Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's cold out there today. Colder than the Grand Slam bat flip that Vlad Jr. unleashed against the Yankees in the ALDS. But do you know where it's toasty and warm and where baseball's hot stove is brewing along? The Morning Lineup Podcast. We're here Monday through Friday, first thing in the morning, to deliver you all the trade, signings, and news from the MLB offseason. All in under 10 minutes on anywhere you get your podcasts. Come in from the cold and join us.
Maybe we can live without libraries, people like you and me. Maybe. Sure, we're too old to change the world. What about that kid sitting down, opening a book right now in a branch of the local library and finding drawings of peepees and wee-wees, Cat in the Hat? If you think this is about overdue fines and missing books, you better think again. This is about that kid's right to read a book without getting his mind warped.
Maybe that turns you on, Seinfeld.
Maybe that's how you get your kicks, you and your good time buddies. Well, I got a flash for you, Joy Boy.
Unbelievable to me that when graffiti happens in Orchard Park, your mind goes to a 14-second clip of Seinfeld with Philip Baker Hall what was his name? Was
he Bookman.
Bookman.
Lieutenant,
right.
Bookman.
Lieutenant Bookman.
With the a lieutenant with the library.
Right. Hardcore. I said we'd talk about 13 seconds, and we will, but let's talk about this graffiti thing.
Gilbane Turner needs to hire Bookman. They're putting out a $100,000 reward for information.
For a head on a stick, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're going Wild West on this thing.
For peepees and wee-wees, allegedly.
I hate graffiti. I hate crime that... I understand why people steal things. I'm not saying to do it. I understand why murder happens. I do not understand the destruction of someone's property for the sake of destroying property. I do not appreciate any sort of crime that disrespects other people's time, work, energy, and money.
What about Banksy?
I mean, it's...
That's art, though. See? So what's the line of urban art versus graffiti? This is graffiti. This is vandalism.
This is vandalism.
Yes.
I have no respect for vandalism.
But
I have no respect for my son crushing a can that's a nickel, except now it's not a nickel. It's just a nickel. But I'm like, stop doing that. When I walk into a room and I see a crushed can in his room.
Easy, Gramps.
I don't like it. I don't like disrespecting other people's time, energy, and money. And so head on a stick is fine. If I would like this to be one person, and do we have the death penalty?
They think it's an inside job.
Do we have the death penalty in New York State?
Yeah, I think.
I'm not saying it has to
know.
Be that.
What do we?
I'm saying it should be on the table.
I'm getting my federal crimes and my state crimes mixed up.
All right.
I don't know what we have.
All right.
I'm not from here. I'm a native Ohioan. Don't ask me what they have there because I don't know that either.
All right. 13 seconds.
We need Bookman to find out what happened with 13 seconds.
What do you know about what happened with 13 seconds? We'll get to that. Or what's your best guess about what happened with 13 seconds? 13 seconds. Sean McDermott did not get fired because the Bills lost to the Denver Broncos. The black mark on his record is still that. Why was he still the coach after that happened? Because, as you said, it was new. It was, man, there were 13 seconds from winning one of the most incredible games that's ever been played in the NFL. That was a lot of fun until the last 13 seconds.
They had just been to the AFC Championship game the year before.
Right.
They were just in year three of Josh Allen.
Yeah, it was all coming. It's all coming. And
technically, it was year four, but year three is the starter, really, as the guy.
Sure. Year three of we go to the playoffs every year because that's the quarterback. It's year three of that. It was still new enough that it was like, all right, dude, that was terrible. That was terrible, but I'm going to assume you learn from it and you improve upon it, and we're going to give you a break on this one. It's not a fireable offense right now. But when
they go 13-3 the next year, but lose to that's the DeMar Hamlin
right.
year,
the Bengals
and
thing, and the
Kim
weird
Pegula and the top shooting and everybody the tragedies that were happening with
right.
the with weather and people dying and the games being moved to Detroit and
right.
all that. And so you're not going to fire him after that,
right? But now it's just been too long, and now when you list. When you have a list of grievances for why this guy can't be the head coach anymore, at the top of it is still 13 seconds. Because there was a chance to undo that, and that was never undone. So it makes sense to me that while that is still the darkest mark on his record, there was a lot of time between when it happened and when it was time for him to go. It all made sense. It didn't even occur to me until John Harbaugh was fired that the Bills could make a move. When John Harbaugh and the Ravens broke up, I went, oh, well, better win this game this weekend then, McDermott, because that guy's out there. And that's when I started thinking about it. And they did win that game against Jacksonville. And then they lost the following week. And Harbaugh was already gone. And then they land on Joe Brady. And I'm okay with all the Brady stuff. I'll wait and see. But don't think for a second that 13 seconds isn't the reason this dude got fired. Because it is. It's right. I mean, we would agree. That is the black mark. That's the phrase that keeps coming up is 13 seconds. And they didn't fix it. They didn't fix it.
We don't know, though, still to this day. And even the players are arguing about it. After Sean McDermott got fired, we saw a little back and forth between Jerry Hughes and Andre Smith. Of course, you might want to lean towards Jerry Hughes because of his track record, his credentials, starter, all the sacks. But Andre Smith played 15 games that season, including the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a core four special teamer.
I saw the Hughes stuff. I didn't see the Andre Smith stuff.
It was basically saying it was not Sean McDermott's fault, that it was Leslie Frazier's fault for calling the prevent defense. And we don't know Heath Farwell's situation. He was let go as the special teams coordinator. And Tyler Bass's role and the confusion of what was called and what was carried out. And when I say we don't know, is not the same as we haven't heard anything or we haven't found out, because there are people who I trust. I'm not saying just people who are invested in this or, you know, people who I trust who give me differing inputs on what happened. And so until somebody's willing to go on the record and explain, which nobody really has, Leslie Frazier's been quiet about it. Heath Farwell's been quiet about it. Sean McDermott, I've discussed it with him. And he has explained to me why he doesn't talk about it. I think I can discuss this, in off the record conversations I've had with him, is that as a leader of a team, you may roll your eyes at this, but he thinks that as a leader of a team, he should not place blame anywhere. Now that infers, or I guess I should deduce from that,
but he's not blaming himself.
That he's not blaming himself,
right.
And that he's saving somebody from either embarrassment or going public, whatever. Now, that's where the eye rolling might come in as well. Here's a guy trying to save himself. Of course, it's not his fault. But as the head coach, he did take the blame. It's like, it stops with me. I am the head coach, whether it's, you know, the fog of battle or who was calling the plays. Was it Leslie? Was it me? Did Heath do the right thing? Did Tyler not hear him and do the thing on with the kickoff and how it was supposed to be done and whatever. So he is the head coach. He's the executive. He's the CEO. He's the one who's supposed to make sure that there is no fog in battle and communication's done and we are dealing with the crowd noise. And yes, it is crazy at Arrowhead Stadium as all this is going down and do we choke or do we whatever. Yeah, you're supposed to be able to pull your team through that. But his belief was it does me no good as a leader of this organization to dissect exactly what went wrong because those people are either still on my staff or on my roster, and keep in mind, he was only third or fourth year as a head coach, may want to coach in this league someday and get other jobs. And if I rip them in the media, then that's a mark on their resumes that they carry on with them and have trouble getting jobs or moving up the ladder, all these other things. So I think his belief was, I'm going to swallow it and I'm going to take all the arrows because you can then take whatever you want from me not talking and put all the blame on me, which you're going to do, and which was done, you know, in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
and still to this day. So he's taking it anyway.
Yeah.
Whether he falls on his sword or he outs somebody or so, like, what? He's still taking the heat.
The one thing we can say about his entire tenure is that the franchise has been buttoned up, and we showed or we were shown how quickly that can fall apart when that guy steps out of the room and we just turn Terry Pegula wild on a microphone, and he's there trying to help out Brandon. Brandon Bean does not need your help at a press conference, Terry Pegula. I assure you, he's got this covered. And every time Pegula spoke at that press conference, it was like, I'm just feeling for Bean. Like, dude, stop. But he can't say, dude, stop, because he owns the team, and he just promoted me, and now he's trying to help and defend me, and I don't need you to defend me. This looks so much worse every time you open your mouth. Another reason for McDermott not to talk about 13 seconds is, why dwell?
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
On the darkest series in your entire tenure as the coach. When you get fired, we are going back to that. But why bring it up? Why be involved in a conversation about that ever?
I wonder, though, if gun to your head. In looking back on it, though, if he would like to have hashed it out, get it out in the open in some way. Mea culpas, whatever. You know, I'm going to learn from this. I mean, those are the types of things that he did say.
Is that when Frazier went away immediately after that?
No,
because there was the weird dismissal of him where he was taking some time off.
Well, there was he was getting head coaching interview opportunities, and then one year he just didn't after he had another good year. And that was after the 2022 season,
which is the Hamlin season.
Yeah, that was that. He was exhausted. I heard, you know, all kinds of different reasons that maybe that there he and Sean weren't totally on the same page, but. The exhaustion, I think his family, he lived here in Western New York by himself during the season. There was a strain. He was the leader for a lot of the guys on that team. You know, you look back on any of the reports that the Bills did about how they went and helped out at the Topps site on Jefferson Avenue. It was Leslie Frazier leading them in prayer. He was very much the face of that for the Bills to go down there and get involved. If you recall, it happened at a time not everybody was in town. The Bills ordered everybody, get on a plane, get back to Buffalo.
Well, it was the day before the Micah Hyde softball game.
That's right.
It was May 14th. I remember that. It was my son's birthday. So it was May 14th that it happened. The softball game was on the 15th. And that was a very poignant moment being at that game and the moment of silence. So a bunch of guys were in town, but everybody.
Yeah, Leslie Frazier, I don't want to say he spearheaded that because I think McDermott, but he once everybody was in town, a lot of people were following Leslie Frazier's lead on that. So he was very... At a time when the city was very raw.
He was in it.
He was very, yeah, and I think he was drained, and then he didn't get the interviews that he had gotten just a year before, despite everything that had happened.
Yeah.
With Kim Pegula's situation, and it was just, I think, a lot. So.
How do you feel about phone calls?
I like them. Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation. Give your speech. Give your quick, the shortened version of your speech about conversation.
Yeah, we talked about it on Monday.
Yeah, you can say it again.
Let's have a conversation. None of this hang up and listen stuff. You can hang up and listen to us take the next call.
Yeah, but stick around.
Yeah.
You're going to throw it in there, and then we're going to throw something, and you might come back with something that you want to say. That'll work. 803-0550. How are we going to connect with the fans if they're hanging up and listening?
I have to stop stepping on you.
You're not stepping on me.
Well, you just were given the phone number, and I was talking.
I'm about to give the phone number.
You were giving it while I was talking. And I stepped on you.
Oh, really?
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm apologizing.
I'm comfortable with this banter. I'm okay with it. You can step on me. Not all the time. It's just going
to
happen.
Here, I'm going to give you 13 seconds to say whatever you want.
You can get connected with the fans. We're going to get connected with the fans, courtesy of Northtown Kia. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. 803-0550 is the number. Go to Buffalo. We're in Buffalo, sort of. Lee is in Buffalo. You're on WGR. What's up?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good, yeah. And then I got a few things real quick. The 13-second, I don't sit there and blame one individual because, you know, just like a marriage, you know, there's two wrongs don't make a right. As far as the McDermott situation, it's so obvious now that it's that the fire has burned down that, you know, there were not one, not two, but three reports that came out before the Denver game and the Jacksonville game that McDermott had meetings with the owner and general manager, Brandon Bean. And I guess they were a little rocky. You know, I just don't think it's all Bean. I think Terry Pegula made this decision because Bean wanted full control. Just like if you take a look over at the Giants organization, John Harbaugh has to report to the owner, not the general manager, which is a little bizarre to me. So these general managers and coaches do have say in draft picks and such and such. But Pegula should have been a better owner and sat both of them down and said, look, guys, you know, knowing McDermott's track record, and I personally as a Bills fan, I'm almost 50 years old. I think this was McDermott's best coaching year out of his tenure because with all the injuries of everything, there was no need to fire this man over a disagreement what there's reports out there of, over power. And this is just ridiculous. Pegula needs to sell the team and get out of town after that press conference. Wow. And he's doing the same thing what he did with the Buffalo Sabres. He fires Ruff because the tenure was so long. Then you didn't make the playoffs for all these years, and you bring Ruff back. He's a winner. Remember that press conference? He said, Ruff's a winner. Well, why did you fire him in the first place? Now look at it. They're on the cup of, on the verge of making the playoffs. Interesting. Are you going to bring McDermott back after 3 or 4 years?
Lee, you bring up a few good points, and I want to, so please stay on the line here. You raise a fantastic point regarding Terry Pegula and his role as the owner, in that Sean McDermott reported directly to Terry Pegula, as did Brandon Bean, the general manager, unlike with the hockey team. Everybody, there was a line that went up through the general manager. But you're right. Terry Pegula could have probably been a little more proactive. Now, we don't know exactly what's happened behind the scenes, but if these guys were throwing grenades at each other, then maybe it got out of hand at some point. Where did Terry Pegula lose control of the situation of two guys who were in lockstep at one point and shared all the praise and diluted all the negativity or the criticisms, right? They were just like, we're going to take it all as a unit.
People were
as
calling
a
him Mick Bean.
Right, exactly. And they got so sideways that one had to go and the other one got promoted. And then the other point that you, Lee, that I think is spot on, is that this drudges up all of the negativity of the Sabres, and it shows maybe the Bills just got lucky with Bean and McDermott at that time, and now we're looking at an owner whose track record doesn't just include having all of these AFC championships and all these consecutive seasons of making the playoffs with his National Football League team, but now how can we trust him to make decisions on leadership? Because now let's look at all of it now. Because the one guy who was holding it together is gone. Who is in large part in tandem with Brandon Bean. But you couldn't keep that together either.
The part that bugged me about the press conference was Pegula saying, I decided this in the locker room after the Denver game. But also, Brandon Bean is being promoted to president of football operations. It doesn't make any sense.
I didn't run this past the guy who I think should be running our football team.
It's just me. This is all me.
Yeah, what if Brandon Bean wanted him to be his coach? We sidetracked you, Lee. We're trying to have a conversation, and now Brad and I monopolize.
Sorry, Lee. Your turn.
Yeah, the thing that I don't understand is we haven't had a winning coach since Marv Levy. And when McDermott came in here with, you know, McDermott was here first and then Bean came a year after or whatever. But bottom line is McDermott is a king around this city. He changed this organization around with his ways, the way Jim Johnson taught him in Philadelphia. And Pegula, I think he's a horrible owner. He only comes around when the teams are winning. I don't think they got lucky with Bean and McDermott. I think, you know, it was time that they finally got some football guys in here. But to me, if I was sitting in Pegula's shoes, I would have sent Bean and McDermott down and said, look it, guys, how can we work this out? McDermott, you're winning. You know, we're this close. Now, I'll tell you this right now, to totally tell you the truth, whatever happens this season coming up is a complete failure unless they make the Super Bowl. And now that's going to hold a black cloud, not over the old stadium, over the new stadium that's graffitied.
All right. Thank you for the call. That's why we keep you around. So you close with graffitied. The last word he uses is graffitied. I want to give Wade Phillips a little credit. He had a winning record in his 2 years as head coach after Marv Levy, and that wasn't good enough. It was time for him to go because he said both teams are pretty much out of it. You remember this? Both teams are pretty much out of it. They're playing Indianapolis in a night game. I don't know if it was a Sunday night or a Monday night. He said both teams pretty much out of it. Indy won. They went on to the playoffs. The Bills did not. Or they stayed alive for the playoffs. But the Bills weren't out of it. And he said that. And I was like, well, you can't be the coach anymore. And I love Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is so fun. But to say they didn't have a winning coach after Marv and before McDermott, I feel like Wade gets a little – I got to give Wade a little bit of credit there.
Let's also, real quick, I guess when you talk about getting lucky, you know, I used to say that they fell – back asswards into Sean McDermott, who then begat Brandon Bean, who then begat all his different lieutenants, who then, you know, who then begat Josh Allen and the rest, you know, as opposed to the Krugers and the Ralstons and the
Housleys.
Fill in the blank that happened with the Buffalo Sabres. You know, McDermott was hired with the help of, you know, that panel, you know, those group of advisors that the NFL would lend to NFL owners at the time, and I don't know that they're as active as they used to be, but Ernie Accorsi and Bill Polian and Ron Wolf, and they would help lead your search. We didn't hear anything about that this time.
Yeah.
We didn't hear Terry Pegula getting that kind of help.
If they fired Bean too on the same day, I was very worried about the next step in the process. Like, I didn't want to blow it up. I wanted to tweak the vibe. And one or the other. I mean, it seems as though the whole situation became untenable and one had to go. So whether it was bring them both in and arm wrestle and whoever wins, you're my guy and the other guy's got to go. I don't know what the battle was, but changing the vibe makes sense to me. There is obviously debate about whether they picked the right guy or the wrong guy to move out. All right. It's Tim Graham and Brad Ryder, 803-0550. We'll go to Toronto for Ryan. Ryan, you're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Hey. Happy Friday. Honestly, I'm confused how good Terry is running this organization. I don't know why he got McDermott got hired first, and then McDermott is the one who brought in Brandon Bean. Secondly, right now, moving forward, in the next season, Bean has a lot of money. Like, he has all these dead cap years or void years or whatnot. I think this year they were still paying for Von Miller, for God's sake. Like, come on, Bean. And all this Mike Evans dream and Jefferson, not happening. Not happening. Neither is my Max Crosby. And if I were Mike Evans, I would not be surprised if he goes to Tampa Bay and plays for Tom Brady. And A.J. Brown, not happening. A.J. Brown, I could see him going to the Patriots because Mike Rabel drafted him.
Well, Brady is associated with the Raiders, not Tampa Bay. Just quick correction on that.
Who? Mike Evans?
Yeah. You said Brady. Go to Tampa to play with Brady.
I could see him going to Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
Playing under Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah. You misspoke and said the Buccaneers. That's why I just wanted to correct that. No big deal.
My bad, yeah. Secondly, Mike Evans is 33 years old. He's coming with a bad injury. Like, we're just going back and forth. Like, it's like bringing in, what's his name, there was a wide receiver they brought in a couple of years ago, and he retired. I can't remember his name.
Percy Harvin?
He was a player. He came from Cleveland, I think.
I don't know.
Elijah Moore?
No, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I think.
I don't want to play a guessing game.
Braylon Edwards?
I know, man.
Brian Brennan?
But no, it's just
But to be honest,
Webster right. Slaughter.
He's got to go. And him making him opening his mouth at press conference made the Buffalo Bills look a laughing stock in the NFL.
Max Speedy.
All right, thank you. He doesn't do a great job at press conferences. I think there's a reason. During that press conference, I put a thing on Twitter. About once a year, we remember why we only hear from Terry Pegula once a year. He doesn't really crush it in those moments. Want to just go to another caller, or do you have something you want to react to?
Well, we were talking, he was talking about the resources that Brandon Bean has at his disposal. I just thought it was interesting that this week on NFL.com, they did a ranking of the offseason resources, meaning your salary cap space, what you have in terms of draft capital and that type of thing. The Bills came in 32nd out of the 32 teams. Mm-hmm. And then also at NFL.com, there was a ranking of last year's draft class in which the Bills came in 31st. So we have that going for the Bills and how things are looking.
Cool. That's super cool. That's really great news.
It's just rankings, but it is NFL.com, NFL Network. It's not like it's...
No, and it was legitimately put together. I don't know what the formula was.
Jim Bob's, scouting service.
Yeah. The part that stood out to me is that at number one was the Raiders. And that's why they're picking first. They've got a bunch of draft capital. And they've got room because they've been terrible. The Bills are trying to maintain something and put it over the top. So I think naturally you're going to wind up near the bottom of that list. That said, there are teams that are doing the same thing. The Chiefs are higher up there. The Eagles are top 10, and the Bills are still 32. So that's grain of salt. It's just an article, but there's something there. We'll take a timeout. We'll be right back. It is Tim Graham, along with me, Brad Ryder, WGR Sports Radio 550, now on FM at 107.7 and 104.7. Stick around.
Joe Brady was the young fella that was coming along the next Sean McVay.
Sure.
So now you've got a partnership with Josh Allen that is going to go incredibly from that standpoint, but now you're the head coach. And how's the rest of the locker room? How's the defense going to respond to you? Are you ready for this task? This is not, make the divisional round. Great job in your first year, Joe. No. This is win it all and get there soon. I am fascinated by the Joe Brady hire.
Fascinated is a strong word. I don't think I'm fascinated by it. I get it. It's not an overhaul. It's a tweak. Right? Is it that simple?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't.
It's not fascinated.
Well, I can see how Mike Garofalo is saying he's fascinated at let's see what happens type thing.
Okay.
Like he finally has a chance to be a head coach. He was the next big thing coming out of LSU and was getting head coaching interviews left and right. And then got fired in Carolina and then didn't get any. And, this guy was fast-tracked to be a head coach way earlier than this. And things just didn't go his way in Carolina. And it was a little bit of a black mark, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not being able to get it done with Cam Newton, although he was injured. And then he had Sam Darnold when that wasn't a good thing. Christian McCaffrey got hurt. That'll hamper any offensive coordinator. To get fired, this guy's been fired. We can't make him a head coach. This guy got fired in Carolina as a coordinator.
Everything I've ever heard about him from people who've worked with him is positive. I have not heard, it doesn't mean there isn't
Same
negative
here.
Out there, but I've not heard a single word from somebody like, I wouldn't want to work with Joe Brady. Yeah. Everybody likes Joe Brady.
No, he had to go through a rehabilitation, after getting fired from Carolina to become a quarterback's coach, then replace Ken Dorsey, establish himself there, have success.
Mm-hmm.
So, he deserves it. But there was a time when he was fending off interviews. Or I don't want to say fending off because he was taking his interviews. His dance card was full when it came to the interview season. And then things dried up for a couple years because nobody wanted to take on a guy who'd been let go.
Yeah. Do you think that the interest in him elsewhere helped propel him to the top spot in Buffalo? Because I definitely think that's a factor. If you know that there's interest elsewhere and you want to keep him around, and I don't even know that you would apply the same thing to Dable, but knowing what happened with your previous offensive coordinator, he got to ride out of town based on his success with Allen. We like this guy. Let's keep him around. We need a head coach.
It's human nature.
Spot,
yeah.
Right?
When other teams are also into your guys, then you value your guys. Right. Terry Pegula even alluded to it when he was talking about why Brandon Bean gets promoted and Sean McDermott gets fired. One of the things that he mentioned were all the lieutenants. You know, Joe Shane. We have guys who are wanted. Joe Shane went off to be the Texans coordinator and came back. Dan Morgan to Carolina. You know, Joe Shane to the Giants. Did I say Joe Shane or Brian? Brian Gain. Did I say Brian?
You said
Gain?
Joe Shane.
Did I say Joe Shane twice?
Yes.
Anyway, you, Brian Gain to the Texans.
That's
Brian Gain. So that was Terry Pegula saying that. Wow, look at people want our guys. Our guys have been to other places that other teams have wanted. So of course that impressed Terry Pegula that other teams wanted Joe Brady, including second interviews.
Do you feel connected to the fans today, Tim?
Very. Right. I'm enjoying the engagement.
Well, you have Northtown Kia to thank. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Back to the phones we go. In order of weight. I'm just going to go in order of weight. We've got Louie. Hey, Louie, you're on WGR.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Listen, I'm listening to some callers, and no offense to some of the callers, but, you know, they're fans like everybody else through and through. But here's my thing. You know, everybody says, well, Sean McDermott should have been kept, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Any coach, I won't say any, but most coaches, any most decent coaches that had Josh Allen as the quarterback, we're going to succeed. And what does that mean? 10-plus wins, okay? So I'll give you an example, it's my opinion. Marv Levy was not a great coach, okay? Marv Levy had a great quarterback, Hall of Famer named Jim Kelly, okay? And Bill Polian as a GM that brought in the resources. So I'm kind of like a little bit fed up with – in my own opinion, fed up of what I'm hearing right now, because Joe Brady, okay, he coached in Carolina, whatever. He was, but never had a great quarterback. It's all about the QB. That's that centerpiece of that puzzle, guys. If you don't have that Hall of Fame quarterback, he's a Hall of Famer when he retires. You're going nowhere. I don't care if you got Vince Lombardi coaching your team. They're never going to win a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, Louis. With Josh Allen at quarterback, the Bills start at how many wins? What's the baseline?
Pardon me?
Josh Allen. For a season. Yeah, where are they? 10 wins, right?
He's the quarterback. Brad Ryder is the head coach. How many wins do we have right off the bat?
Right now?
Yeah.
Going into this year? How many wins we're going to get? I say at least 11.
So okay. I would win 11 games.
We're going to at least win 11. That's the over and under.
All right. So the reason I bring that up is I'm just asking it this way. So what difference does Joe Brady make? Do you think if they can get to 13 wins, then that is a good, you know,
here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. Okay? I'm not 100% by what I hear, whatever. I don't have all these sources, but what I'm hearing is there's muddling. Okay. Sean McDermott muddled a little bit in this offense. Time to time. And Sean McDermott, you want to talk about us not winning a championship? I can give you guys samples. I don't have to give you – I can give you three or four. And I can give you a couple with Jacksonville and Denver, too, where he kind of almost freaking blew it, okay? So here's my point. There are crucial calls that a coach makes. He blew few of them. And we could have to go no further than the 13-second. But he's lucky with the Jacksonville Jaguars – then when everybody thought they should have kneeled, okay, because you got a guy that could boom the kick to the moon, if you know what I'm talking about, that then come back to haunt us, okay? And another thing, hold on, I want to make one more point, please. Halftime, okay? If he elects to keep Josh Allen this, 13 seconds, whatever it was, playing beach volleyball, beach football.
In Denver.
You're a coach. You call halftime, say, boys, we're down by 7, let's regroup. That's what a smart coach does. He doesn't allow his quarterback to play beach football and scramble like a chicken without a head on. That's on the coach. I'm sorry.
Louie, I want you to call in every show. That is bringing it. I love the energy.
Yeah, man, I got passion, man.
You absolutely do.
I've been a Bills fan since Joe Ferguson, and I've lived the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? I've seen it all. And I'll tell you something right now. Why they kept Joe Brady as the head coach? I'll tell you why. Because he's got chemistry with Josh Allen. They work together. The offense is not the issue. The issue was Sean McDermott coaching the defense. Okay, he was the guy who's supposed to control the defense. He didn't bring it, man. He didn't bring it. And what he did, he muddled with the offense on top of that. He got 3-4 crucial playoff calls throughout his tenure that cost us going into a Super Bowl. Okay?
I have a question for you.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Are you Louie from Hamilton that used to call 30 years ago when I was on BEM with Bulldog?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Did you move from Hamilton, or did you just get a cell phone? What changed?
No. I lived in Hamilton before. Okay.
Brad, how can you tell this guy's from Canada?
Because yeah. I just remember his name.
I work out of Hamilton, buddy. I live in Stony Creek.
All right, yeah. Stony Creek, yes. I remember you moving to Stony Creek. You change it up sometimes.
I will gladly bring the passion to your show. Yeah. You put me on, I will give it. I'll give you all the points I need to
give. That's a fact.
I'm going to tell you right now, we are so lucky, that we have Josh Allen as our quarterback.
Well, that's a fact.
Yeah.
If we never win a Super Bowl, would I be disappointed? Yeah. But you know what? Think about all the good years he's brought us.
It's been super fun.
The years that we've got nothing. We've been in playoff misery. We haven't got to the playoffs. So many years. I'm such a passionate fan, right? But at the end, I couldn't take watching our seasons go down the hill every year because we didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And all we see was quarterback carousel after quarterback carousel. We couldn't get off that ride. Now we got off that ride. Two greatest quarterbacks who ever coached this team.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two King or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two King or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
They ever quarterback this team? Jim Kelly, Josh Allen, and Kemp, okay? Before.
Those are the two. If I were to pick...
Joe Ferguson, too. Joe Ferguson was good, too. Right.
Okay. We're going to end this. Thank you, Louie. I know you like conversation, Tim. There reaches a point where I've got a button and I can say, let's end the conversation.
I understand this.
I would agree that the two greatest quarterbacks in Bills history are Jim Kelly, Josh Allen, and Jack Kemp. I think for sure.
And he threw Drew Ferguson in there at the end.
For sure, those four are definitely the two best. I forget if I'm supposed to. I got to look at my sheet.
43. We got time to take one more.
Okay. Keegan is in Springville. Hello, Keegan. You're on WGR.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
I just want to talk about McDermott getting fired a little bit. He was here 9 seasons, and we got the East a couple times, but what has he won after that? We got to the AFC a couple times, but we didn't win it. We didn't get to the Super Bowl. I just think it was time for a change of scenery with the coach. You got arguably one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the league, who's got a cannon for an arm, and you hardly let him throw downfield. We're doing these little wide receiver screens. Yeah, I know we don't really have, like, that number one wide receiver that can get that separation, but I just feel like McDermott was kind of wasting Allen's talent just a little bit.
Keegan, how much do you anticipate the offense changing? I know that those are a couple of the things that really drove fans crazy. Was the very shallow depth of target from Josh Allen, a lot of Khalil Shakir, of course, underneath stuff, not, like you say, not stretching the field. But this is Joe Brady's offense, and now with him as head coach, how much do you think it will change?
I mean, I think it'll change relatively reasonably. I'm hoping maybe we can trade for a decent wide receiver or even maybe draft a pretty decent wide receiver that can get that separation. And I did notice that kind of in Brady's introductory press conference, he kind of hinted that as an offensive coordinator, he didn't really have full control of like the plays. So that kind of makes me think that McDermott was telling him to like call it a little conservative. So I kind of have faith that with him being the head coach now, he's going to try to stretch that field, let Allen throw the ball more. Of course, we're going to rely on Cook to do his thing.
It's a sticky wicket, though, because if Sean McDermott was the one who had his finger on the scale of this offense, the offense is the thing that got Joe Brady this job. So we don't – and again, there's a lot of convenient ways to look at it, and I guess we'll know. We probably won't truly know, not even – I don't even want to say September, probably October is when you really get to find out a team's identity season to season. But to find out what, or have an idea of what Joe Brady really wanted to do or what he prefers to do when he has, when it's his show, and no doubt his show.
Is it universal that when people complain about Joe Brady and play calling, that they are all picturing Khalil Shakir on the right side and going backwards from the line of scrimmage and Josh turning and firing it sideways? Because that's what I'm seeing.
It's not just that, Brad. It's also Khalil Shakir on the left side doing that.
Here's what I hate about that play. And I like it used sparsely. We've seen it
work sometimes
with some success. I don't need it four times a game. And I hate, you're taking away so much of your own power. Your power is that Josh Allen is your quarterback. And if it is predetermined that as the ball is snapped, he is turning and firing it to his right, regardless of what else exists, you're taking away so much of what makes your team dangerous. And not allowing him to utilize his, it's not just physical with him. He is a very intelligent quarterback, and you're taking that away by saying, we're going to snap, we're going to turn, we're going to fire over there. And that's what I don't like about the play. It has worked tremendously at times, but it became such a crutch for the team that if there's a complaint about Brady, that's the thing that has driven me crazy. Excuse me, over the last couple of years. Timeout. We'll be right back. It's Tim Graham and Brad Ryder on WGR. We're 20 minutes away from face-off in Italy between the U.S. and Slovakia, so that's definitely what I'm doing when I get out of here. Go home and turn on the game, because it's very exciting. Canada won today, and the gold medal game will feature the Canadian team and either U.S. or Slovakia on Sunday, so I'm in on that. I'm Brad Ryder. Tim Graham is here as well. We'll be together all next week, although Tim will be in Indianapolis for the Combine, so we'll be checking in with him for the first couple days there. Phone line's still open for you at 803-0550. We can grab at least one more, maybe two, as we wrap things up and lead into Shope and the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Let's go to Steve next in Rochester. Hey, Steve, you're on WGR.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
I'm of the opinion, I guess, I have no problem with letting McDermott go for one reason and one reason only, in 9 seasons. As a defensive-minded coach, he can never figure out how to get to the quarterback. And I always kind of blamed him for that for whatever reason. You know, it's not all his fault or whatever, but they could never do that in 9 years. And I wanted to know what you guys thought of this. I thought to myself, you know, had Doug Marrone been lucky enough to have Josh Allen and he had that Jim Schwartz defense, wouldn't he probably still be coaching here?
He might be. He certainly wouldn't have quit, because one of the reasons that he did take that buyout, well, even though it was free money, maybe we would have learned even a little bit more about Doug Marrone. But part of the reason he packed up and left was because Kyle Orton retired, if you recall. Remember the Bills had Kyle Orton for another season?
Yeah,
and then, lo and behold, at locker cleanout day, Doug Marrone learns that Kyle Orton's not coming back. So imagine what he would have like to do with somebody like Josh Allen.
And Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, we had the number 2 ranked defense that year.
I don't know where they ranked, but they were dynamic. They were fantastic. Jim Schwartz did a remarkable job.
Yes, he did, and I wish he was here again. You know, but I always held that against McDermott. You know, he was a great motivator. He was a religious guy. They loved him, obviously. But, you know, you just could never figure out a way to get to the quarterback. You tried different parts, different pieces, different draft picks, different free agents, and you could never do it. And for that alone, I had no problem with him letting him go. I just always keep saying it to myself, what if Doug Marrone, and I don't mean just him, maybe Rex Ryan too, but what if those guys were lucky enough to have Josh Allen, they'd probably still be coaching here.
WWSDD, what would St. Doug do?
Thanks for the call.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, all of these conversations, they don't exist if they don't hit on the quarterback in the 2018 draft.
I mean, Bills that year
hit massively on quarterback, of course. That goes without saying. We don't have to say it every day, do we?
The Bills that year ranked 4th in both points allowed and yards. So not quite 2nd, but they were up there in a lot of categories, 4th overall.
All right. Mark in Amherst, you're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Brad, it's great to hear you on the radio again.
Tim, thank you.
I agree.
Anytime Tim Graham writes something, he's one of two Buffalo guys that you just drop what you're doing and you read it. And I guess that's kind of a good segue into.
Wait a minute. Who's the other one?
Don Esmond.
Second guy's Ty Dunn.
Oh, that's good company. I'll take it.
You know, I think that's good company.
And I agree.
We love Thank the you. Bus, you know, but anybody over at The Athletic's always a good read, and it's definitely worth the subscription. But I think what drives me nuts most about Brandon Bean is I just plopped down $50,000 in PSLs for the next 30 years of Buffalo Bills football, and they hired Joe Brady. And his answer to Tyler Dunn about if we didn't like the Joe Brady hire was F the outside. I don't know that it's the best idea for a guy who had a 25% chance of drafting a quarterback that hit in the 2018 or 2017 draft, whatever which one it was, became a significantly more linear decision when it was him or Josh Rosen, has been living off that for 9 years. And has the right to tell the fans to basically go F themselves if they don't like the hire, because you can take a look at that one hit, but, I mean, you look at the wide receiver room. I think you can make the argument that Ed Oliver making $20-plus million a year is also a joke. Nelson Knox, $17 million cap hit. Like, I understand if Joe Brady is the guy and you want to go forward and you want to hire him, but why does it have to be, we don't really care what the fans think? It could have been much easier for him to say, Joe Brady's the offensive mastermind that everybody wanted.
You're right, Mark. There have been a lot of unforced errors in the PR game.
I know you love conversation.
In the last couple of meetings. Yeah, we got
to
go.
I know you love conversation, but we'll have to pick this up on Monday because there's 10 seconds left in the show. Thank you for the call. Thanks to everybody. That's Tim Graham. I'm Brad Ryder. We're back on Monday here on WGR.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of. Right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.